don't know what to say. The monkeys won't do. And I also don't know what to say about those crazy producers from the Geek Cop Radio Network. They're driving me crazy.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Up in the sky, look!
It's a bird!
It's a plane! It's Superman!
Cars and pedestrians into the river below. The police have warned everyone to remain in their homes.
This looks like a job for Superman.
Hello and welcome to the 19th episode of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, TFG1 Mike, and today I am joined by Sketch1984. Hello.
How's it going?
It's going, and today we're going to be jumping back into the DeLorean for another Tooncast Beyond DeLorean Time episode, with our heading set for 1941 and the Fleischer or Fleischer, or we were arguing off air of how to say it. I think Fleischer sounds better. The 1941 Fleischer Superman cartoons. So what have you been up to, good sir?
Watching lots of cartoons. Yeah, I've been sick since freaking SoccerCon, where I met Steve Bloom.
Did you get an autograph?
Yes, I did.
Let's do a YouTube video for that.
Nice. Yeah, they wouldn't let anybody take pictures. That was pretty bogus. But,
oh, but you got his
he only had one autograph signing, which was, well, no, actually, they gave him two eventually. But yeah, it was that convention is not the best run, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah, though maybe still possibly. I don't know. It's a little different of not as well run as the Emerald City Comic Con the weekend before, where I met Kevin Conroy.
Did you get something signed from him?
Of course. I got him to sign my Justice League, the artwork on the Justice League complete series set.
Awesome.
And I also had him sign Batman Arkham City.
Oh, sweet.
And he gave me a headshot, too. Oh, yeah. And your cohort will be super sad that I met Rob Paulsen.
We've talked to Rob twice, so, I mean,
this
that's just
true.
As good as meeting him. No, but I wish you would have told me you were going to Emerald City, because I would have told you to represent the Geekcast Radio Network, because we've been dying to get an interview with Kevin Conroy. I'm sure as soon as Steve Megatron hears this intro to this episode, he's going to kill you. Because
I didn't think that was in my jurisdiction. So
well, that's
now
what
I know.
That's what I'm saying. You should have told me you were going. Like, you should have said, hey, I'm going to ECCC next weekend or whatever it was.
Well, somebody doesn't pay attention to my tweets.
You tweet so little, so.
What? Well, I guess compared to you.
Yeah.
Tweeting the same thing on three accounts.
Shut up.
There's a thing called retweeting.
Yeah, retweeting is stupid sometimes. Especially with that new format that Twitter has of showing the picture of the person that retweeted the other person. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. As far as I go, just podcasting as always, and we started Masked Mayhem, which is covering all 75 episodes of the Mask cartoon. That's going to be torture. Especially with that stupid robot and that lame-ass kid, anyway.
I have never seen Mask. I'm going to get around to it one of these days.
Oh, boy.
Maybe Hasbro will put it on Netflix.
Yeah, right. Oh, you never know. All right, so with this being a DeLorean time episode, we are going back to the old Tooncast classic format where we give you a history lesson. As I said before, we were talking about the Fleischer and Famous Superman cartoons, which are a series of 17 animated Technicolor short films released by Paramount Pictures and based upon the comic book characters, comic book character Superman. The pilot and first eight shorts were produced by Fleischer Studios from 1941 to 42, while the final eight were produced by Famous Studios, a successor company to Fleischer Studios. From 1942 to 1943, Superman was the final animated series initiated under the Fleischer Studios before Famous Studios officially took over production in May of 1942. I don't know. Obviously, neither one of us were born in 1941.
I should say not.
or before that. I honestly don't even remember where I saw these as a kid. I know in the 40s they were shown in theaters before films. But I honestly have no friggin' clue back in the 80s where I would have seen these. I remember seeing them because I remember the pilot, the Mad Scientist, Superman, aka the Mad Scientist episode. I remember that episode like it was no tomorrow.
I'm sure they played on television in some capacity. Even back then in the 80s, I remember seeing them at least briefly on Cartoon Network's Toonami block.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They actually really liked using audio clips and video clips from these old shorts in their various bumpers.
Yep.
Stuff like, "We will not be intimidated by criminal threat." Yeah.
Criminal threat. Well, if you'd bring back Toonami, you wouldn't have criminal threats on your ass, Cartoon.
Oh, funny thing about that.
Yes, I know.
Bringing back Toonami.
Yes.
I never thought that would ever, ever, ever be possible. I mean, it's like, they don't do that. They don't say, we're done with this, and then bring it back. Though, apparently, they did so with Super Chunk at some point. But
anything is better than Level Up.
True that.
Yeah. So as a kid, do you have any memories of any specific episodes or anything like that, or do you just remember watching it?
I just remember seeing bits of it, so
yeah.
Don't really have fond memories of it, because
these are classic shorts, and they are, you know, for the time, they were amazing stuff. For theatrical shorts, they were amazing stuff.
You know, if you compare the animation to, say, 80s television cartoons, it's better in many senses. It's better than the 80s television cartoons.
Don't know about that, but
I mean, in like the animation techniques and the movement. Right.
Well, it was all rotoscope, wasn't it? I think so. I think I read that somewhere.
We're gonna get that. We'll get to that at some point.
Yeah, yeah. See, here's the thing. When I was watching these back on Netflix, I was looking up all the information. I'm like, 1941. Warner Brothers was producing Looney Tunes at this time, and Looney Tunes had better animation than Super. Like for its genre,
definitely.
Well, definitely. For its genre and for what the Superman Fleischer cartoons are, it's great animation. It is, but compare it to something like Looney Tunes, and Looney Tunes, the overall, I guess, cleanliness or clean lines of Looney Tunes kills this cartoon out of the water.
Yeah, and Looney Tunes was better preserved, to be sure.
That's true. That's true.
But Looney Tunes was way more fluent.
Yeah. Well, you kind of have to be with someone like Yosemite Sam. I mean.
But speaking of the fluidity of the animation, I noticed in some of the action, it's like things have very odd physics. And when the building kind of creaked back and forth and curved, that kind of stuff happened all the time in these shorts, and it's an interesting effect, but it doesn't look normal.
It happened in the very first episode when he had to save Lois from the falling building.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Standing there, and he's pushing on it.
Buildings don't fall over that way.
Right. Well, he's pushing it, and he pushes it too far. He flies up to the he swirly flies around the top of the building, all the way up, and he just grabs onto the top of the building's antenna, and I guess at 10% strength pulls it back to even it out. I mean, that made no sense to me, but I don't know. I just. Really, what I have memories of with these cartoons as far as a kid in the 80s is more so hearing them than actually watch. Like, you know, I'd be in my room and my mom would turn the TV on in the living room and I would hear, you know, the Mad Scientist episode or whatever episode it was. And I would just listen to them. Like, the whole time that I was, quote-unquote, watching them back on Netflix, honestly, I was doing other stuff on my computer. I wasn't actually watching the cartoon. I was listening to it like it was a radio play, which is essentially where this came from, because you had Bud Collier and, what's her name? Joan Alexander, who played Lois in the, or voiced Lois in the cartoon. You had those two, which came from the actual radio show. So I like these for simply listening to them more so watching them. Because some of the stuff they did in these cartoons is just really, really weird.
Mm-hmm.
It just is very weird. So getting into the cast and the characters, obviously, as I just said, Bud Collier is the voice of Superman, Clark Kent / Kal-El. I don't know why he needs three names, but that's argument for another day. I know why he has three names. I just don't know why he
needs... They never even called him Kal-El.
I know. That might be I don't know. You had Joan Alexander, who voices Lois Lane. Jackson Beck voiced Perry White. Jack Mercer voiced Jimmy Olsen. Jack Mercer also voiced the Mad Scientist 1. And Bud Collier voiced Mad Scientist 2. Bud Collier voiced a number of people in this cartoon, actually. It obviously back then it was a very, very small cast, so you got double and triple duty from a lot of these different people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the voices were well done. What I liked about Bud Collier's Clark Kent Superman was how he could have that softer voice, and then he could go deep, like, you know. He could go into that deeper voice for Superman.
I was always amused when, in the earlier shorts, he stopped doing this later on, but in the earlier shorts, he would say, "This looks like a job for Superman."
Yeah.
It's like, high register, deep.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like that about it, because even though these shorts, there's no... Obviously, 1941, they didn't know what continuity was back then. And they're in front of movies that you're supposed to see in the theater. I mean, it's essentially like seeing an ad at a movie theater today. You know, even though, thank God, ads are not 6 minutes long. In total, they are, but each ad is not 6 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I look at Bud Collier's Clark Kent Superman is in the same way as I look at Kevin Conroy's Batman Bruce Wayne, where Bruce is a low voice and Batman is, well, Bruce is a regular, like a, almost like Kevin's normal voice, and then Batman is a deeper voice that he uses. There's a fine difference between Bruce Wayne and Batman. Same thing here with Superman and Clark Kent. There's a very, very huge difference in this one. What are some of the other characters that you liked or didn't like?
What did they do with Jimmy and this guy, Lewis, who looked a lot like Jimmy? Both voiced by Jack Mercer.
Yes.
And those guys didn't come in until like 10 segments in.
Yeah, that was after Famous took over, yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, because Fleischer only did the first eight, and then Famous did the rest.
Okay.
Yeah.
That explains a shift in tone.
Because I was like, wait a second. Because I was like, you know, Clark is just making, you know, maybe you should go do that, Lois. And then you hear this voice that, and I actually had to stop what I was doing to actually go and, you know, pull up the screen and look at it. I'm like, okay, that, unless Lois has had a sex change operation, which I don't even think they knew about those in the 40s, that's not Lois. And he's like, no, it's Lewis, Louis. I'm like, oh, God. Now I'm talking through your nose. Oh,
yeah, I don't even know, man.
I don't know. I like, obviously, Clark Kent Superman. I thought, obviously, he's the star of the stuff, but any of the other characters weren't, they didn't really do much. I mean, sure, Lois kept getting into trouble every time, but it's, you know, it's that thing where a series or, a, you know, a set of serials starts out with, you know, potential hazard. Superman goes in to save it. At the end of the day, it's all happy, hunky-dory. Either he and Lois are, or not he and Lewis, but Lois, but either he and, damn it, either Lois and Clark are back at the Daily Planet and they're making snide remarks to each other or whatever. You know what I mean? It ends on a happy note every time. And I understand that they had to do that back then. And I understand what these were. I don't know. I guess in this age of needing and yearning for actual story and continuity.
Yeah, it's not much story.
Yeah, these shorts just aren't my thing. I understand what they were going for, but I just can't get into it. Not at all. So, as I said, well, the first nine, okay, is getting into some of the history and the production of the stuff. The first nine cartoons were produced by Fleischer Studios, the name by which the cartoons are commonly known. In 1942, Fleischer Studios was dissolved and reorganized as Famous Studios, which produced the final eight shorts. And these cartoons are seen as some of the finest and certainly the most lavishly budgeted animated cartoons produced during the golden age of American animation. Are you serious?
Who wrote that?
I don't know.
Did he take this off Wikipedia?
Well, yeah, that's where I got it off of. But I honestly don't know about that because a lot of these cartoons are very gritty and dirty looking.
Uh-huh.
Oh. By mid-1941, both brothers Max and David Fleischer had recently finished their first animated feature film, Gulliver's Travels. Oh, wow, that goes all the way back to 1941, huh? We're deep in production on their second Mr. Bug Goes to Town. They were reluctant to commit themselves to another major project at the time. When they were approached by their distributor and owner since May 1941, Paramount Pictures, Paramount was interested in cashing in on the phenomenal popularity of the new Superman comic books by producing a series of theatrical cartoon based upon the character. The Fleischers hoped to discourage Paramount from committing to the series, so they informed the studio that the cost of producing such series of cartoons would be about $100,000 per short. An amazingly high figure, about four times the typical budget of a six-minute Fleischer Popeye the Sailor cartoon during the 1940s. To their surprise, Paramount agreed to a budget of $50,000, half the requested sum, but still two times the cost of the average Fleischer short. That's crazy.
Wow.
Paramount wanted so badly to cash in on Superman, they offered the Fleischers $50,000 per short.
Well, who's going to turn that down?
Oh, my God. That's just nuts, dude.
That's, well, in the perspective of how much a show costs to make now.
Well, yeah.
Apparently, yeah. Well, yeah, obviously, way different.
Yeah.
But just to make the comparison, it's about $400,000 per episode.
Yep.
Of like a 22-minute show.
Yeah, and these are only 6-minute shorts.
These are only 6 minute shorts, so. Yeah.
The funny thing is, if I did my math right, $50,000 per episode, they did, Max and Dave did nine shorts. That's $450,000 for nine shorts.
Not bad.
Nope, not bad at all.
Oh, makes you wonder how much money they made and how much money they had to spend.
Yeah, that's true. As I said before, the voice of Superman in the series was initially provided by Bud Collier, who also performed the lead character's voice during the Superman radio series. Joan Alexander was the voice of Lois Lane, a role she also portrayed on radio alongside Collier. So essentially they took the radio show people and took them into an animation booth or whatever and said, hey, say these lines so we can animate this. Getting to the rotoscoping stuff, the process of tracing animation drawings from live-action footage was used minimally to lend realism to the human characters and Superman. Many of Superman's actions, however, could not be rotoscoped, flying, lifting very large objects, and so on. In these cases, the Fleischer's lead animators, many of whom were not trained in figure drawing, animated roughly and depended upon their assistants, many of whom were inexperienced with animation but were trained in figure drawing to keep Superman on model during his action sequences. Well, no wonder these look like shit. You had inexperienced animators working on it. God.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Must have pocketed a lot of that budget. Wow.
Yeah. I just, you know, as I said before, because I'm not going to read through all this history, but as I said before, the general gist of each of the shows kind of get into the, you know, the premise of these shorts. You know, someone does something bad, or someone kidnaps Lois, or someone does this, someone does that, or Lois herself, dumb brunette that she is, will get herself into these situations, you know, like, you know, staying on a train when they're supposed to get off, or going into a building that they're not supposed to be in, and the building collapses, blah, blah, blah.
Every time she gets on the freaking phone, something collapses on her.
Yeah.
Stop getting into the freaking phone booth! Dumb broad.
Yes.
She's kind of a conniving bitch, too.
Yeah, she stole his press pass.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Oh, God. For me, the only one that I really like out of any of these, as I said before, I've seen 14 out of the 7, like, after short 14, which I think was the mummy, like, it was either short 13 or 14, that's the mummy short, where they're saying, King Tesh. I didn't know John Tesh was alive back then. you know, I think they were going for, like, a King Tut kind of thing, but it's, when I heard it, I was like, is he saying King Tesh? Because I couldn't really tell. But, like, once I saw that one, I'm like, okay, I've seen more than enough. I don't need to see shorts 15 to 17. Oh, God. To this day, the one that I absolutely love is The Mad Scientist. That one was cool. The very first one. What about you? Any of the ones that you liked?
Let's see here. I have no personal attachment to any of these. Having just watched probably 15 of them, I would say, I can't even remember the names. The Mad Scientist is pretty good. I like the one with the comets.
Yeah, that was
down. That was good.
Yeah.
And I tell you ones I didn't like.
Go ahead.
I really didn't like the 11th Hour.
Yeah.
What the heck was with that? With Superman basically sabotaging the Japanese? That's all he was doing! He was sabotaging the Japanese! Which I suppose is the follow-up to...
Japators.
The Japators.
Yep.
And I gotta imagine that one was skipped on the Toonami run.
Probably so.
Really? It's like, I just sat there. Slackjaw was like, holy racism, Batman. Wait, holy racism, Superman. As it were.
Yes.
Oh, the buck teeth and the... All right, little man, you get what you want. It's like, really? Oh, wow. Famous got a little preachy with their episodes.
Yeah, Famous got a little fucked in the head, I think.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, I see the episode list here now. So... I like the Mechanical Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
The what the heck, Lois? You're jumping into the robot. And Billion Dollar Limited was pretty good when she stuck on the freaking train and actually picked up a gun and shot it. That was interesting. And the Bulleteers was pretty good. But I would say my favorites were the Magnetic Telescope. And, oh, actually, I liked the Electric Earthquake.
Yeah, that one was pretty cool.
That one had some good action in it.
Yeah, it did.
And
the one thing that I did not like between Fleischer and Famous is when they changed the introduction.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same introduction, same animation, but they changed what the dude said. You know, in the first, you know, the first nine, he said, you know, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Later, they started using more powerful than a tsunami and more this and more that. And like, what the hell are you?
It didn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, it didn't make sense anymore because it wasn't what I was used to hearing as far as describing Superman. That's what we've always heard him described as, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. You know, I don't know. It just, oh. And the music was okay.
Had a catchy theme.
Yeah, the theme is very catchy. I did like that, but, yeah, that's essentially the music. I will say, going into the legacy a little bit, in 1985, DC Comics named Fleischer Studios as one of the honorees in the company's 9th anniversary publication, 50 Who Made DC Great, for its work on the Superman cartoons. Writer-artist Frank Miller cited the influence of Max and Dave Fleischer, including them among a list of prominent Golden Age comics creators whose work he acknowledged the end of the 1986 comic series Batman The Dark Knight Returns. The series strongly influenced the creation of the acclaimed animated television series Batman. I don't know how. I know, Bruce.
When people said that before, I wasn't sure what they meant. But now, having rewatched these shorts, there is some similarities, definitely in the city design.
There is
somewhat in the.
And I've heard Bruce Timm say that he was influenced by the Fleischer cartoons. I've heard him say that on DVD commentaries and stuff. So it is true.
Basically, he took this episodic format of Superman, and for Batman, beefed it up with actual story.
Yeah.
And it had a very similar style to it, that you could look at this and then Batman the Animated Series, and you could see where some of the attributes are coming from.
Yeah. Yeah, it's had a number of media releases, kind of getting into the, continuing with the legacy here. I'm only going to talk about the ones that are kind of important versus the earlier ones. In a more, quote-unquote, official release from Restored and Remastered Superior Vault Elements, I don't know how they could have found Superior Vault Elements. The stuff on Netflix looks like a dog shit on it. was released on DVD on November 28th, 2006 as part of Warner Home Video's Superman film re-releases. The first nine cartoons were released as part of the four-disc special edition Superman the Movie set, and the eight remaining cartoons were included on the two-disc special edition Superman 2 set. The entire collected Fleischer famous cartoons were included in the box set, the Christopher Reeve Superman Collection and Superman Ultimate Collection Collector's Edition, where both sets also included a 13-minute short documentary on the history of these cartoons entitled First Flight, the Fleischer Superman Series. And of course, another release came on July 1st, 2008, when Warner Brothers released the shorts on iTunes via their DC Comics sections. For 14 of the shorts are available for $1.99 for every two, while the other three are all in one video for the same price. And as I've also said that they are, on Netflix, as well. So, So I think we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some commercials and we'll come back to close the show.
You can now hear the KidCast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear KidCast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter KidCast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code KidCast Radio when you register.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
You know how we talked about doing a podcast? Well, I have some ideas run past you.
Yeah, what do you got?
I thought we should base it on comics.
Well, there's thousands of podcasts about comics. You kind of want to narrow it down a bit.
Well, what about Star Wars?
Still, there's a ton of those out there. What else you got?
We could always do G.I. Joe comics.
There's still a ton of those out there.
What about the 80s franchises?
There's already a few of those as well.
But let's forget about comics. Let's focus on toys and action figures.
Dude, then we're back to thousands of podcasts.
Well, is anyone covering all those things I mentioned in one podcast?
No one would be crazy enough to do that.
Then that's what we'll do.
Are you serious?
Yep. Come and listen to Star Joe's podcast. You can find us at starjoes.com or find us on iTunes.
Yeah, we cover comics, TV shows, and movies based on Star Wars, G.I. Joe, and all your 80s favorite franchises.
And don't forget about the toys.
How can we forget about the toys? We also do tour reviews to help you decide what to add to your collection.
So come listen to Star Joe's, where we hold nothing back, provide quality entertainment, and remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Yo, Joe!
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, geekcastradio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble MASK. The GeekCast Radio Network has launched MASK Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of MASK will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. MASK Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh. Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
So, final thoughts on the Fleischer famous Superman theatrical shorts, sir?
Well, it was a nice piece of history.
Yes, I will agree to that, yes.
It was a nice piece of history. There's some very interesting animation in it. Now we understand why some of it's kind of wonky, because they had untrained people doing it. But despite that, it holds up pretty well, at least in animation. But there's just not a lot of meat to it. They're kind of fun, but they get monotonous, especially if you marathon them.
Oh, yes.
Like, I watched most of them in a single sitting, and oh boy, yeah. I needed to throw in an episode of Spider-Man to break up the monotony.
Yeah, I watched, like I said, Mad Scientist, the first one, the pilot, that's my favorite. I watched shorts 2 through 14 at once, but again, as I said before, after watching, like, shorts 2 to 5, I was like, okay, the animation on the Fleischer ones is really, really good. I got up to short 9. That was really good, because that was 9 is where Fleischer stopped. 10 is where Famous took over. As soon as I got to short 10, from short 10 to short 14, I said, screw it. And I just listened to it like it was a radio play.
Probably a better call.
Well, and honestly, I actually prefer, like, if I was going to watch or listen to these again, that's what I would do, is I would listen to them. I would not actually sit here and watch them.
I wouldn't get much enjoyment out of that, because I realize these are the radio actors, but it feels a little too disjointed to be a radio play. It would just...
Well,
I just wouldn't enjoy it. I didn't think the voice acting was anything special, honestly.
Yeah. If, you know, people who are comics fans and people who are obviously fans of Superman, and I am a fan of Superman in certain instances, like, you know, the Christopher Reeve movies, like, shamelessly, I'm a fan of Lois and Clark. I don't care. Don't judge me. That's my choice, damn it.
Hey, man.
I love Superman the Animated Series. Yeah, I love Superman the Animated Series, so...
Thank heavens for Superman the Animated Series. We at least have one good Superman animated series. Otherwise, we wouldn't. We wouldn't have one, and that would be...
I know. I would say that if you want to get into Superman or the mythos of Superman, these are... you know, something to get you started, at least, you know, to see the piece of history of what these animated shorts were.
You know, in regard to the mythos, yeah. And I haven't read a whole lot of old Superman comics, so were Ma and Pa Kent not in the original Superman comics?
I know Pa was.
Because they made him an orphan in this one, and sent him to an orphanage.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
And Krypton... Were they really that special? I thought it was the fact that Superman was on Earth that gave him his power. But I don't know. Once again, I haven't really read that many old Superman comics, yeah. So that origin certainly might have changed, because he didn't fly initially.
No, no.
He also didn't fly initially in these, which was terribly awkward. But then eventually, apparently, they let him fly.
Yeah.
I would say the verdict is... This your first stop on Superman mythos. If you want a cartoon for Superman, watch the animated series.
Yeah. I would say for people that want to, you know, see what Superman was like in the early days, at least on television, watch this. Don't watch that goofy TV show that they did.
Oh, the black and white one?
Yes. Oh, God.
Well, at least this one let him be Superman.
Yes. Is there anything you want to pimp out before I close the show?
Yeah, sure. I've still doing reviews for nickandmore.com. I just started doing episode reviews for the Green Lantern series at worldsfinest.com.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So those are fun.
Yes. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond in DeLorean time. There's so ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can have you can comment on each and every post, and we will reply, and we will start up debates and discussions and everything else over there on the website. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Tooncast Beyond. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
Sketch 1984.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us to show you leaving the message for or and your name. 502-526-5821. If you have a headset or microphone on your computer, you can go to geekcastradio.com. On the right-hand side, there is a button that says Send Voicemail Now. It will pop up a window where you can immediately record through your computer, and it will get sent to us. You can email us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. We will reply as soon as we can. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Damn, I gotta start that over. Shit. We hope you enjoyed this trip back in time here on Tooncast Beyond, and wish you'll join us next time when we will be returning to real time as we cover, in the superhero spotlight, Young Justice. For now, I am TFG1Mike with
Sketch 1984.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.